again. This is the old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with program number 151 in a series of 260 chapters dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen over the past 50 years, the WHKP years since 1946. We follow the same format as that used by the great Frank Fitzsimmons, so we merely call this Where Fitz Left Off. In the years of tomorrow, there'll be no need for churches or sanctuaries or even for radio or TV sermons because religious beliefs will be propagated by thought transfer. Or at least I heard that viewpoint espoused at a meeting of the Board of the Protestant Radio and TV Commission in Atlanta 25 years ago. Until recently, I was not aware that Jane Rouse, most attractive widow of the late Reggie Rouse, was a graduate of the School of Journalism at the University of North Carolina. She is a subscriber to a publication called the UNC Journalist, and she loaned to me a copy of the summer edition, which I'll tell you more about tomorrow. In this publication, I kept seeing an acronym of J-O-M-C, which I can only assume was a title somebody in the department dreamed up when my old school of radio, television, and motion pictures was, at a time of weakness and leadership back in 1993, was devoured as carry-on by the always aggressive deans of competitive schools within a university. And the JOMC, I further assumed, meant journalism and mass communication, which would also fling forth an umbrella so large it would cover even an astute sidewalk peddler of hot dogs or roasted chestnuts. I also noted on page 20, an only reference to my old school when in referring to one Reese Feltz, who had made a contribution to JOMC. It was pointed out he had not received his degree from JOMC at Chapel Hill because, quote, at that time, broadcasting was under the, quote, now defunct Department of Radio, Television, and Motion Pictures. That one sentence then explained why there was no other reference to any alumnus of RTVMP, a school that had thrived for almost 50 years following its founding in 1946 by Dean Earl Wynn. As I perused this publication of JOMC, I noticed an article on the 1996 Mass Communications Day at Chapel Hill, at which time a former dean of the school, Wayne Danielson, asked, and again I quote, will there be a need for newspapers, post offices, libraries, television, radio? He asked. Journalism is becoming more diffused. It's becoming more participatory. I mused over this line at length. My mind flashed back to a meeting 25 years ago at the Board of Trustees of the Protestant Radio and Television Commission in Atlanta, Georgia. The board back then consisted of 42 individuals, most of whom were ministers or laity with wealth. There were only two broadcasters on that huge board in 1971, myself and Bob Covington of WBTV Charlotte. The board included a bishop, business executives, a college president, and faculty members, as well as denominational executives and pastors. And I remember vividly an impassioned speech made by an Episcopal priest from New York City who derided the very proceedings then being discussed, emphasizing that, quote, all this is a waste of time. In the future, we won't need to do these Protestant hour radio programs and TV features. We won't need this center. And in fact, sanctuaries themselves will be a waste of money because religion will consist entirely of thought transfer. I'd earlier met and was impressed with the pastor of a little bitty church down in Georgia who was on the board. And after he had heard this exhortation to devote our total energies to thought transfer, he hit the floor and asked for a word of prayer. In the prayer, he thanked the Lord for the dynamic vision of this young minister from New York. But he asked for the Lord to provide the group with the patience and the good sense not to be derelict with the opportunities at hand. The session had gotten out of sorts because several members of that gargantuan board were upset that Dr. Ernest Arnold, the president, and Bill Horlock, executive vice president, had agreed to lease the studios of the center there on Clifton Road Northeast when the facilities were not in use by the sponsoring denominations, and to lease at substantial monies to gospel groups such as the Spear Family, the Statesman Quartet, the Happy Goodmans. The Protestant Radio and Television Commission had a beautiful facility and included the world's largest studio pipe organ. But the regular contributions from the denominations barely made ends meet. And the center could certainly put to use thousands of dollars in extra revenue that would come from leasing the facility. But some on the board felt it would not be a credit to the center to permit commercial gospel groups to use this facility. Well, that did it. I hit the floor and simply asked this august group, "Why don't you put your money where your mouth is? If you want this center to be totally sacrosanct, then it's time to up the ante. You can't run this center on dreams and fantasies of what the future might hold." And I treasure a letter I received from Bill Harlock after that meeting in which he said, "Your words were of strength and truth and courage. It seems to me you have honestly approached the situation and have told it like it is. Hopefully this will be the turning point for this center." And I can only say that the Protestant Hour is still going strong 25 years later in 1996. Another memory of this seventh child of a seventh child, lucky enough to have been born here, good sense never to leave, the job he's loved all of his life. Sursum corda, as we approach the next 50 years.